This is Matthew 28:16-20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." The word of God for the people of God. Amen.
Good morning, good morning. Wonderful to be back in the house of God. So I missed you guys. I've been gone, so felt like I've been gone forever. But I'm excited to be back, and I'm excited about this sermon series. It's been pretty cool to kind of establish who we are as Free Methodists, what we believe. Now that I've gotten more into our what we believe, where we stand, it's really cool, and there's such rich theology there, and it's so cool to be able to share that with you guys. And so mine is on Christ's compelled multiplication, multiplying. So the Free Methodist way is to see God's kingdom expand exponentially as ordinary people are equipped by God's power to do extraordinary things. And I think that we as the church, and maybe even us as ministers, have done a disservice in many ways, that people believe it's our job as pastors to reach the lost. But our job is to equip you to reach the lost. That's our job. So I think I just want to reiterate that, and that's what I'm really going to be talking about today, is you are called. Every one of you is called to reach the lost. So why are you here, right? What are we doing? Why are we here? God created mankind in his own image, in the image of God. He created them, male and female, and God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth, subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food." So we're here to be what? Multipliers. God has called us to multiply. Each person needs to multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. That's our job. That was what God created us to do right there in Genesis. So being a good Christian is amazing, but it's not about living a good life. I think in the recent years, it's been living my best life now. And I think that's probably one of the biggest issues with that, because being a Christian is hard. It's not easy. We don't get to live our best life now. We get to live our best life in the kingdom when God comes back and makes everything right. Living your best life now, it's like, how selfish. How selfish. So when we fail to be multipliers that God has commanded us to be, we're not living in the will of God. So if you are not multiplying, you are not doing what you're commanded to do. One of the first things that we teach our children is to share, right? Because it's kind. When we have something good, we should share it with others. I mean, think about when you're on a diet, right? And you're having success. You tell everybody. I'm eating no this, and I'm not eating that, and I'm eating a lot of this. And you tell the world, and you announce it on Facebook, and you won't shut up about it. You won't, because you're having success in that area. But do we really do that with our Christian walk? Are we really doing that? And I would say no, because the world, when you look at North America, the demand of people who believe that are Christians is falling and falling and falling. We are not doing our job. We're looking to someone else to do it for us. And I think a lot of this is just pure and simple ignorance. I think people come to Christ and then they believe that they're supposed to live a good life. That's part of it. We're supposed to be holy. That's a huge, huge part of it. But we're called to multiply. And I think that we look and say, oh, it's the minister job. I'm not equipped to do the things that God is to reach other people. It's the pastor's job. And the other part is the church as a whole has become like the movie WALL-E. Does anybody know the movie WALL-E? When they're floating around in space and they're not doing anything. I'm getting old. This movie's old. Anyways. It's one of my daughter's favorite movies. So they go to the space and they're flying around. And they have become so dependent on the ship. They're feeding them. They can't walk anymore. They can't do anything anymore. All they're doing is consuming and consuming and consuming. And I think that is what the church has done. And we as leaders have failed in that area because we've said, you come to church, you be a good church attender, and you sit in the seat and you tithe and you volunteer once a week at church, you're a good Christian. But that's not what it is. That's not what it is. That might be a part of it. That might be a part of the role, but it's not what it is. We are commanded to love God, right? To love God. We cannot love God without first loving others. To love others is to love God. You can't have one without the other. So who is called? All of you. It says you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of God's own possession, to proclaim the virtues of him who called you out of the darkness into this marvelous light. You are the chosen people, a royal priesthood. That's a big statement, I think, a lot of, because we are not in like the Catholic understanding of priests or even the Levitical understanding of priests. That's a very, very important role with had a lot of demands on it. You had to have this lineage in order to be able to be a part of that. You had to be blessed. You had to be anointed. You had to live a life of upstanding holiness. There was a huge demand to be a royal priest. Your job was to serve the people, to do sacrifices for the people. That was your job. And that's what he's calling us. We're calling us royal priests. Each one of you is a priest. I bet you if you put on a priest collar and a black shirt on, because everybody knows what that is, you know, that little bit, that priest collar. I bet you're going to act a lot different when you go out in public, right? You're going to act a whole lot different. You're not going to cuss. You're not going to watch weird things because people are going to be watching you. Well, that's a priest. When I tell people I'm in ministry and they all know, they are careful around me. They don't cuss around me. They don't talk about bad movies around me because they know. So are we walking around with the idea that we are priests? The demands that has on our lives, we are priests. This is the problem why we can't reach our own families. Because God has placed you where you are today in your families, in your place of work, to reach those people. Mission trips are great. All that stuff is great. But it's your job to reach your mom. It's your job to reach your child. You're there. That's your job. But because your witness is so tainted, they don't hear you. They don't hear you. So many of us are watching our families drowned in lakes and wanting somebody else to save them. If you saw your grandma drowning in the water, what are you going to do? You're going to dive in after her. You're not going to go, hey, somebody else come and get her. I don't have the skills to save my grandma. You're not even going to think about it. You're just going to do it. We're making this too hard. We're making ministering to people too complicated. We don't need all the wisdom and all the skills because God has already given us those things. You don't have to know the whole Bible. You just have to be holy, which is hard. But by his spirit, we are made righteous. Amen. By his blood, we are made righteous. Amen. Now you are the Levitical priest. You're also, you had to have the lineage, right? Well, what are we called? Children of God, right? We're made in his image. John 1:9, the true light which gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own and his own people didn't receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Amen. The right. So that means as a child of God, you have all the rights, the authority, all the stuff you need to reach your family. You are not incapable. You are not unable. God has given us all the things that we need. We are children of God, made in his image. So how do we make disciples? Really good. So how do we make disciples? Well, first of all, what is a disciple? A disciple is one who follows Jesus Christ, right? It's pretty simple stuff. So, and one who observes all that Jesus has commanded. So disciples of Jesus is one who loves, trusts, follows, this is the big one, obeys, and multiplies. So by that token, the disciple maker is one who makes, equips followers of Jesus. Disciple makers teach others how to follow Jesus so that they are able to go out and teach others to do the same. Now, I had a martial arts school, and in what I'm teaching martial arts, and I'm teaching them what I know, right? I'm teaching them all the skills that I know, and they're learning all these things. Well, a big part of that program was having junior instructors. And these junior instructors, some of them were black belts and some of them were not black belts. And I would have them teach other kids. And they would always have a hard time when they weren't black belts. I'm not a black belt. I can't teach. I said, well, do you know the information that I'm teaching you that you're supposed to teach these kids? Yes. Then teach it. You don't have to know everything in order to teach it. You don't have to be a black belt Christian in order to be able to teach somebody how to follow Christ. You could be a baby Christian and go, hey, I found this amazing thing that changed my life and made me a new person. Come with me. I'll show you how to do it. We can learn together. That's what the Christian life is all about. John 15:16 says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. The problem with love today is we believe that love means accept. But you cannot have love without truth. You can't have love without truth. It's not real. You're just being nice to people. That's not what it means. When he says love people, he doesn't say be nice to them. Because you're not being nice to somebody who is dying and killing themselves by placating their behavior and saying, I love you. It's okay. Now I'm not saying go out and accusing people of their life, right? I'm saying live a holy life, upstanding, where they look at you and go, you have something I need. They'll see it in you. When you're hanging out and doing life with this person, they're going to go, hey, I've done this with many of my clients that I clean with. They go, you have something. They want me to pray for them. They ask me questions because they see something in my own life. I haven't had to say anything. They come to me. They know that I believe in Christ. They know that he has saved my life and he's redeemed me from horribleness. But they come to me and ask me these things. So we reach others and make disciples like Christ did. So Matthew 4:19, Jesus says, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And at once they left their nets and followed him. So he just rolls up, says, come follow me. They like drop everything they're doing and follow him. How did he do that? I mean, he's the Son of God, but how did he do that? That's true, but he's living a life that exudes the presence of God. When they encountered Jesus, they encountered the presence of God. When they encountered Jesus, they encountered the image of God. And I've been convicted in this area so much because, you know, growing up, I knew I was called to ministry. But the problem was you have an idea of what ministry is. Ministry is speaking in front of people and teaching classes and having Bible studies. That's ministry. Yes, that's part of ministry. But you are called to ministry in your daily life. Your daily life. My husband should encounter the presence of God when he encounters me. That's not happening. And I know that. I'm convicted by that. But he should. My daughter should encounter the presence of Jesus when she encounters me. That's what should happen. That's how our world will change. They will encounter you, bam, and they will encounter Jesus himself. And then you say, hey, come follow me. And they're like, okay, yeah, I'll follow you. You know what you're doing. You got something going on. Now, when we only invite people to church, I'm not saying that we should invite people to church, that is a thing. It brings them to the pastor. I think that's a lot of people. I'm going to bring you to church, and then other people are going to minister to you. That is part of it. But your job is to minister to them by doing life with them. So you're a royal priesthood and capable to minister to people. You and your witness is the means of grace that God uses to confirm what the Spirit is already doing in their hearts. The grace of God is already going out. The Spirit of God is already working in people's lives. He's already doing the work. When you witness to somebody, you're just confirming what is already happening in their hearts. Doesn't that make it a little less scary when you think the Spirit is already doing the work? Now, when I was running around crazy, doing my wild thing, many times the Spirit was already working in my heart. I would go into a church and I would sit in the back pew. And I was a mess. I was homeless. I was a drug addict. I was a mess. But I bet you if somebody would have talked to me right then and there, I would have got saved. How many of our family members are walking around and the Spirit is already moving in their life and we are afraid to move past that? We're afraid to confirm what God is already doing. I had that situation so many times. I was thinking back on that. I can't remember how many times I was in a church and I was sitting there and I was desperate. But I didn't really know what I needed to do. But if I bet you somebody came and said, boom, my life would have changed right then and there. And I thought that with my cleaning clients, that during this coronavirus, a lot more of my clients have been home. A lot of times they were away. And God really just challenged me. He's like, these are the people you're supposed to minister to. These people that you're encountering, and they're desperate. Corona made it like, man, if the field wasn't, the harvest wasn't plentiful before, the coronavirus made it incredibly plentiful. Because people were desperate. They were alone. They were afraid. The world was coming down on them. Everything they had placed their security in was gone. And here they are. And the only person they were encountering was me. But I didn't notice it for a while until God's like, ding, 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 ding. Oh. And so I just started just little things, little tiny things. And they were so receptive. Because the Spirit had already been doing the work in their hearts. I was very convicted. I was like, man, I've had some of these clients for 10 years. They knew I went to church. They knew I was a pastor. But it was like I was not this professional line I wasn't going to cross. But then I got that image of drowning in the lake. Would I jump in after them? Yes, I would. I don't want to get to the end of my life and go, God's like, these people right in front of you. And you didn't share my name. You didn't proclaim who I was to them. Now, Jesus also sought for his disciples to live transformed lives of love and submission to God. Jesus made disciples who multiplied. Jesus' followers multiplied from several dozen men and women meeting in a room after his death to a global movement spanning 2,000 years of millions of people. Think of that. It just starts with 12 people, and it multiplied, and it multiplied, and it multiplied. But each one of those people's lives was drastically changed. And then they shared the gospel, and those people's were drastically changed. If you just shared the gospel with 5 people, 5 of your closest friends, and you lived life with 5 people, and they did 5 people, do you see how that had just expanding. That's something that's manageable. When we think of, like Larissa said, the entire city of Portland, it's overwhelming. We think everything around us, we're like, we can't reach, I don't know how to reach this culture, and I don't know how to reach that, and I don't know how to do this. But I know you know how to reach your own family. And you're a person you work with every single day. You talk about all kinds of stuff, but you never talk about the Lord. You never share. And I think the part where people want to share the gospel, and the gospel is truth. But we get very like, you have to live this way, da 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 da. That's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to live life with him and express the amazing things that God has done in your life. Your testimony is your best tool. But your testimony is tainted when you do not live a holy life. So many believers that I work for, you would not know they're believers in their own home. And I'm like, oh, that convicted me too. Would somebody know I'm a believer if they just come out and hung out with me in the living room? Do you know? Would they know I'm a believer by the way I interact with my husband? Would they know that I'm a believer by the way I treat my mother? All these things are the ways that people see who you are. These are the ways that people are going to go, okay, they have something different. And this is why that people have stopped looking to the body of Christ, to church, for their answers. Because you know what we are like the church? This is reminding me of, you ever see that cool group in high school or whatever, and then that one kid who's just kind of tagging along trying to be cool? That's what the church is right now. Hey, I'm cool. Look at me. I'm so cool. Like, hang out with me. And I'm like, who are you? What are you? You're like, you're trying to be like us, but you're not. You're a dork. What are you doing? The church needs to be set apart. Something else, speaking the truth. And I think that we think that we have to morph into something to relate to the world, and we have to try to change. And the alphabet doesn't change. It's the same alphabet. The alphabet doesn't try to wear a backwards hat, trying to be cool. I'm the alphabet. I'm cool now. It's the alphabet. It's the alphabet. It's the gospel. It's the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. We need to speak the truth. In love. We need to live lives of holiness so that people actually look to us for their answers. Hallelujah. Now the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to the disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into this harvest." You are the laborers. He has gone before us and prepared the hearts. It is our job to proclaim the gospel. The gospel itself has power. It has power. The scripture is alive and relevant for today, and it still speaks to the hearts of people. I believe we become ashamed of the gospel. Wow. We become ashamed of it because it's not politically correct or whatever it is. We've become ashamed of it. We've gotten chastised for it. We are seen as non-loving for it. But we have to remember, love isn't acceptance. Love is kind. When somebody's drowning, the kindness is to save them. The nice thing would be, I don't know, the nice thing, throw them a life raft, right? We have become ashamed of the gospel. The gospel is so rich. You just read one tiny little piece of it, and you read it over and over and over, and you remember, if you've ever done this, the more I speak, the more I see it. It changes, and it speaks to me in different ways each time I read it. I am doing this women's retreat in this one little verse, and I have gotten so much richness from this tiny bit of scripture. Just over and over, and let it change my heart and let it become a part of who I am. But we become ashamed of our very foundation of scripture. I encourage you to get in the word, and if you can't read the whole Bible and it's too overwhelming, pick one page and meditate on it. Pray it. Let it seep into you. Research it. Look up what the words mean. It changes the richness and the depth. It's going to give you the tools that you need when you feel like you don't have anything to say to people. I hate when people make the excuse, "I can't do this," but they have never even tried. I'm not able to witness to people because I don't know how, and then they don't try. It drives me crazy. It is like the most annoying thing. I've been personal trainer, and when people say they can't do something, it just makes my brain want to explode. It's like, try. Try. And so many Christians are excuses. I don't know the word. Because you don't read it. You don't make it a part of your life. It should be interwoven in the part of everything that you are. It should come out randomly in conversations. You know, if you watch a lot of TV, what happens? You start quoting it, right? It comes out in conversation. Oh, yeah. And I've watched a lot of The Office, so you'll hear that in me a lot. It comes out, right? Random situations. That's what Scripture should be doing. It should be coming out. It's like a file in your mind when you're speaking with people and you know that God is moving and you feel like God wants to say something, but you're afraid it's you. When God has that Scripture in your mind and he can flim-flow through your little file, the Holy Spirit just pulls it out and it's Scripture, you know it's not you. Because nothing good can come from you, right? That Scripture is the goodness. Boom. So when we make that Scripture a part of who we are and we're not ashamed of the gospel and we have consumed it so much that it exudes from us, then people are going to look to us for the truth because we're going to be speaking the truth. So for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. He's already gone ahead of us. I know I said this before, but it's such a powerful idea, and it makes it so much more easy to move forward with that. God is already speaking to the hearts of your children. He's already stirring in their spirits. God's desire is for none to perish. God's grace is for everyone. But I think a lot of times we're walking around going, oh, I guess being a Christian is just not for my daughter. It's just not for this person. They just aren't getting it. And I want to just encourage you to continue to pray. And I also want to encourage you to look inside and go, what kind of witness am I putting out there? Really look at it. It's ugly. There's some areas I'm like, man, that's got to change. That's got to change. The people at work should know. They should know, without a shadow of a doubt, who you are. You are image bearers. You bear the image of God. We're doing it a disservice and injustice. So today I want to close with the idea of search your heart. Search your heart. Go, God, is there stuff in my life that I need to allow you to come in and love it out? Love out that nastiness and bring me to a place of holiness where I can really be used by you. And also to fill me with the courage to speak to people, especially those that you care most about, because those are the hardest people to talk to, because you love them and care about them and you care about the way they think about you. It's easy to go on a mission field when you don't know anybody. It's hard to preach, speak love into your family. And I also pray that God will give us his heart that breaks for the world, that breaks for the lost. We've become callous to it because it's become so overwhelming. But I pray that he would open up our hearts again to look at the lost and be broken over it. So Deuteronomy 31:8, the Lord himself goes before you. He will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid or discouraged. So fellow laborers, priests, ambassadors, and disciple makers, I want you to take those names home and just think about those names and what they mean. That you're a priest. I implore you to heed the mission that Jesus has appointed all of us to. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you.